Today is the 12th of November, 2017, and we are on our second part of the Book of John series, Final Exams. And I think we're going to wrap it up today so we can go on to further study of God's Word on Sunday. So we had fun with it last week, but we have some issues this week. And some of those issues I won't go into details about, but we're not going to be able to get our test papers back to the same person that had them last week. So what we're going to do is we're just going to take, by faith, our questions that we have in our hands. All right? We're still going to pass them to the right by two. Okay? Oh, excuse me, to the left. My military left. To the left by two. Two people. Okay. So Marvin's would go to Joshua. Joshua's would go to Joshua. That's fine. Daniel, okay. Daniel didn't have one for you, so you can share. That's the kind of flexibility I need. And how are we progressing over there?
Dad, did you say one to your left or two?
Two.
Oh, okay, so
go two to the left, and we'll skip Lydia.
So we don't have one to put in. So
I have mine here, so you don't need to worry past this way. We can just let you ask from your questions. Let's start. Right. I've got a set here for you. But you ask ones, or they won't ask ones that you ask. Okay? All right, does everybody have a test paper in front of them, or a question and answers paper in front of them? Is there anybody that doesn't? Okay. Seth doesn't have one. He's going to share with Mom. All right. And he'll need his glasses, his new glasses. He'll need those on to be able to read the questions properly. And I have Seth's here. Actually, you know what, Mom? Why don't you take these from him, his questions. Let him use the yellow one there. Thank you, and I'll just use my own here as well. That'll help solve the dilemma we're facing. Okay, and so if you weren't part of the Book of John series, you weren't here for it, that's fine. You can just listen, observe, you can answer questions as you're available. Basically, what we've been doing is the person that has a series of questions, so we'll start with Marvin this week, and he'll ask me a question, so you go backwards one person, and then we keep going backwards this way, right? Is that the way we were doing it? Counterclockwise?
And we'll count people that are sharing as one person.
We'll count people that are sharing as one person. So your two heads are better than one in some cases. Not in all cases, but in some cases, two heads is better than one. This might be one of those. And to explain to the listener what we did or what we decided to do was, instead of me making up an exam for the whole group, I had the whole group come up with 25 of their own questions and answers from the whole series, from their notes and from their studies. They could use their Bible to openly examine and find questions for themselves, things that we studied on in the Book of John. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all those questions, and it's like, what is it, a dozen and a half people or 15 people times 25 questions, make a complete database of exam questions for the Book of John. I think it's a good thought. I think it's a good system. And plus, it's given you an opportunity to go back and study again for yourself. And so I think it's a good way to jog your memory and good way for us all to review what we've studied. Amen. Okay, so Brother Marvin, if you please, would start us off. And I'll see you. And remember, like we said last week, we want to have fun with this. I don't know is an answer. Don't need to be embarrassed about that. Please speak up so the microphone can pick you up. All right? And if I don't think it's loud enough, I'll either ask you to repeat it or I'll say it again myself. Okay, any questions? All right, Mr. Marvelous, let's do this.
In John 4:32, what meat was Jesus speaking of?
In John 4:32, what meat was Jesus talking about? Well, I want to guess his body?
No.
His word?
No.
Okay, what was it?
Whoa.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
Do you have any idea?
In John 4:32, you can open your Bible if you want. John 4.
It's okay if you don't know.
It's okay if you don't know, and you can look at your Bible.
What meat was he talking about?
Yeah, what meat was he speaking of?
Fish. I'll quote it to you. He says, "But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of."
It's your turn.
No, it's all right.
We go in order.
Once we go on to the next person, anybody else who already went.
You can go. Already
so
answered.
You said you know the answers.
Yeah, he's talking to the woman at the well in that chapter, and his disciples, were wondering about eating and such. And Jesus told his disciples, I have food that you know not of. And he was referring to this work he was doing with the woman at the well and those that she brought to him later.
You're getting close.
Yeah,
the work part is right.
Go ahead and let Brother Marvin need to speak up a little bit.
You were close.
Oh,
the work.
There's not the only thing in the chapter.
Go ahead.
Well, verse 34 says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me.
Yeah, there's the answer right there in verse 34 is, and I'll read it out. Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And the work that God the Father sent the Son to do was to die on that cross.
So he was right about the work, but the actual answer that Brother Daniel gave was from verse 34, which is actually the answer to my question, is John 4:34.
Okay. Very good. That's how this goes, guys. So Brother Daniel, you're next. Brother Daniel Rusk and Joshua, if you guys are working together.
You want to guide him as to which ones.
Well, because you weren't here last week.
That's right.
How many witnesses does Jesus call upon to bear record for him, and who?
Is that to me?
That's to you.
It's kind of unfair because it's for my question. So I would refer it back to. See, that's kind of.
Why
I know
is
the answer because
way?
I made the question.
Because Marvin passes to Josh.
Oh yeah,
really,
that's why it's not working like it did last week.
Brother Daniel should be asking questions from your side.
So why don't we open the question for anybody to answer? The first person that has the answer for this one could raise their hand.
Well, that's why we avoided that way last week, and I want to avoid that way is because we'll get the same 20% answering the questions all the time.
That's right.
Just go ahead and ask me the question, brother. Go ahead.
Okay, how many witnesses does Jesus call upon to bear record for him and who?
Two.
Okay.
Is that the right answer?
Who?
I would say the Father and the Spirit.
Nope.
No, that's too bad. Okay. What do you say, brother?
I thought it was three. Isn't that the Father, the Word, and the
In this
Holy
particular
Ghost?
Verse...
What verse is it we're referring to?
Well, that's part. That's you get points for that later.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
It's not in the question.
No, it's right. The answer of the is in the is the answer is there, but it's not.
So
in the
two is correct or not correct?
That's
correct.
That's
two
the first
is correct.
Part.
Okay. Can we have a chapter it's referring to? Oh, we have somebody with an answer. You have an answer?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Josh.
Father and John the Baptist.
Uh huh. That's right. Is it? What's the chapter?
Yeah, we're finding our questions are a little nephorous. Guys need to speak up, please.
John 5, starting in verse 33.
Okay, what's it say?
Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. And the other witness is the Father.
Keep reading.
All the way down the verse. I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing by reason to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me.
Good. So the works that Christ did were a witness, and God calls us to work, and that work, like we did last night, was a witness to many people. Good. Okay, so we there with that question, we were all kind of struggling a little bit because of the generality of it, maybe. Because I can think of 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 witnesses, but we need to,
right.
I guess, to kind of narrow it down to what we're talking about, which chapter maybe, or the circumstances. All right, Brother Joshua, you ready? You want to ask a question to the two-headed lambs over here? No, those guys right there.
Well, it's
my question.
It's his question.
Uh-oh. Is it the last time did we, like,
I don't know,
pass this way and then the other action the other way?
So we passed this way and we asked this way.
See, we're rotating.
Oh, we did it backwards.
This way and we passed this way.
Oh, that's the problem. Okay, oh, now, all right, gotcha. All right, we are having fun with this, right? Okay, so we're going to skip you guys. You have a question sheet, don't you?
Yep.
So they would ask back to me. That's why we're having a problem. Hello. Wake up. Okay, here we go.
Ready?
Yes, sir. Hopefully this will be less confusing.
Okay. What did Jesus tell...
Can you read it okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Just get it to an easy one. Hey.
Yeah, it's okay, brother. Just pick one.
Who did Jesus see under the fig tree?
Nathaniel.
You know a Bible verse for that?
No.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, because we get extra
John
credit.
Chapter.
Okay, so it's going back this way.
John chapter 1, verse 50. Jesus answered and said unto him,
nice and loud, please, preacher voice.
I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou shalt see greater things than these.
Okay, good. So Nathanael was seen by Jesus under the fig tree before. Is it like the first time Nathanael met Jesus?
Right.
Right. So was Nathanael selected by Jesus? Was he chosen by Jesus? No, he wasn't? He was. Okay, good. Let's do away with confusion. Now we're going this way still. Nita, you ready? You're going to be asking them.
Oh, okay.
Any objections? We're proceeding on? Okay, let's go.
How long was Lazarus dead?
How long was Lazarus dead is the question. Yes, sir, go ahead.
3 days.
Where is that?
Where was he dead? Oh, which?
No, sorry. Where in John, if you get the chapter right, you get an extra point. Chapter 5. Is that right? Honey, is that right?
No.
Okay, don't say the answer. I'm going to say John chapter 12.
Ooh. I got a question. I got an answer.
Oh, I know the chapter.
Okay, we're going backwards. Hang on a second. Marv, you got an answer?
But it's not.
Hang on. Don't give the answer away yet. Dan, you got an answer?
John 11.
Okay, you want to read it?
Well, 11. What verse do you want to read?
Well, we're just trying to find out about the how many days he was in the tomb. That's what the focus of the question is, the days in the tomb.
Okay. Will that be?
Daniel McGlone.
Well, I don't know where what chapter verse, but he was dead 4 days.
Yeah. Dead 4 days. Okay. That's the right answer, isn't it? 4 days. Okay, so 4 days. Where is it, Daniel McGlone?
That I don't know.
Don't know. Going backwards. Back. Yes, ma'am.
1179.
It's 1117. 1117. Good. Give yourselves a point. Okay. bringing back to memory. Everybody pay attention. Listen. Pay attention. If you get the secondary part of the answer, like the chapter and where it is, the verse, you get another point. So if the first person got the answer right, I said that answer was right. I said 3 days, right? But it wasn't the right answer. So he didn't even get the point. The point goes to Daniel, the first point. The second point goes to the two-headed lamb over here, right? All right, so if you're keeping points, me, I'm not keeping points, but God's keeping score, amen? All right, now where are we? We are with, Mr. Handsome over there with the glasses. He's asking his mother a question. Quiet in the galley, please. Or quiet in the arena.
He's supposed to be asking me a question.
Who's supposed to ask you a question?
He's supposed to be asking me. She asked him. Now he asked me, I believe.
She asked him.
What world would that work in?
Okay, Marvin.
Two people.
Marvin. Thank you. Seth, ask your mother the question, please. You have an objection, sir?
No. Last week we didn't have to know the verse, just the chapter. Are we doing that?
Well, we're going to go chapters a point, verses a point. How about that?
Okay.
So if you know chapter and verse, you get 2 points. I think that's what we migrated to last week.
Cool.
Brother Seth, you ready?
Yes, sir.
With no further objections or interruptions, confusions. Okay, Seth, go ahead.
How many baskets did the disciples bring up after they fed the 5,000?
How many baskets did the disciples bring up after they fed the 5,000? And mother's answer is 12. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Or is it
yes, it was. Yes, that's correct.
That's correct. Okay, mother, do you have a chapter and a verse? No chapter, no verse. Your opportunity, mister. Chapter and verse. Keep in mind, you can look in your Bible to find it. You have the question now. Okay, Mr. Marvin, and give it a shot. Mr. Daniel. All right, we got a hand back there, Ms. Victoria.
John 6:13.
John 6:13, do we have agreement that's correct?
Yes, sir.
Can you read the Bible verse to me, Victoria, nice and loud and clear, please?
Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten.
Excellent. So is that the first or second time that he fed the 5,000? Or fed large groups of people, excuse me?
It could be the first. It could be the second.
It's in chapter 6.
It doesn't specify if it's the first or the second.
Well, we know there was 2 feedings. I'm very sure of that. One was 5, I think, and one was 3,000 maybe? Why am I thinking that?
4,000.
Yes. Yeah, there's, in Mark 8, there's
4,000. Oh, okay, 4,000 in Mark 8. So there must have been 2 different feedings.
She gets the point. She said 4,000.
You said 4,000? Okay, have your mom give you a point. Give a hand to her, please. Everybody give her a hand. Good job. Thank you. That's from Miss Dolores. Gave the 4,000 answer from the book of Mark. All right, you keeping your points? Maybe not on your palm. Where are we now? It's Sister Sarah asking Brother Seth.
What is the hidden passage in the Old Testament that foretold Jesus' death?
What is the passage in the Old Testament that what? Can you put your paper down a little bit, please?
I said, what is the hidden passage in the Old Testament that foretold Jesus' death?
A hidden passage?
Yes.
In the Old Testament. Whoa, dude. Hidden passage in the Old Testament foretold of Jesus' death. Okay, Seth, any ideas? I don't remember teaching that, but hidden passage, hidden. That's a key word. Any ideas? All right, we're going here to Mr. Marvin.
Isaiah 53.
Isaiah 53 is a hidden passage. Okay, what does it say, Mr. Marvin?
Moses.
I was thinking Psalm 22. Go ahead.
You don't want me to read the whole chapter? Because, I mean, it's basically...
No, we'll delay because your voice concerns, or we'll abate from that.
Okay,
doing that.
Okay, we'll just start in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
That's good, brother. Okay, thank you very much. So give yourself a point there, Mr. Marvin. Hannah, you ready? Keep in mind, you can look in your Bibles as these questions are asked.
Real quick, that was Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5.
Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Thank you.
Sorry, ready? Yeah. How many people were on either side of Jesus when he was crucified?
That's a good question. How many people were on either side of Jesus when he was crucified? So the answer is one on each side, is that correct? Thank you.
Chapter
19, yeah, I figured it was towards the end of the gospel. The last chapter is 21. So 19, 20, 21 would be a good guess. Got a verse? You want to add something, Victoria?
Verse 18,
okay, thank you. That's 2 points for you. 3 total, right? All right, Miss Victoria, you ready to ask Anna a question?
Yes.
You're trying to pick up the pace a little bit, get a lot of work done here.
Does the Father himself judge any man?
Oh, wow. Question was, does the Father himself judge any man?
It's no.
The answer is no. Why, Hannah?
Because he gave all judgment to the Son.
He gave all the authority for judgment to the Son for in all matters. So all men are judged by that. Okay. Where is that? That's fine. What were we doing? We were counting down last week. 10, 9, 8... The rest of you better be looking if you want that point. 7, because pragmatism is really important. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Anybody have a verse for that? Lydia, you've got a verse for that? You're raising your foot. She goes, yeah, Grandpa, I got one. No answers? Okay, we need to find the answer. Somebody needs to find it because that is too important a subject to let slide without having biblical evidence for it. I mean, in my spirit, I agree with it because I know there's a verse there, but where is it? Where is the verse that supports the claim that the Father's given all judgment for all men to the Son?
The word we might be looking
for. Is it John
3?
Is it 4? It's in John 5.
John chapter 5, okay. What verse? 22. Thank you. Verse 22. Let's look at and read it. I'll read it myself. 5:22. Let's see. There we go. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Boy, that's pretty clear, isn't it? That couldn't be... What did I say, 22 or 23?
Can you read 23 as well, please?
All right, that all men should honor the Son, even they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Well, Mr. Marvin wanted us to add that verse. That brings focus to other things, but right now we're just talking about the judgment the Father has committed to the Son. So everybody's in agreement with that? Any verses that would contradict that?
Yeah, there's a bunch in Revelation that would contradict that.
Bunch in Revelation that would contradict that. How?
Well, the fact that the Father doesn't judge, there's a bunch of verses in Revelation that shows the Father sitting on the throne.
Okay, well, asserting there's a bunch of verses in Revelation, don't do it. You're going to have to give me the verses. If you want to wait till after the teaching, we can do that. We can have that discussion amongst the men. If you have verses to offer right now, I'm willing to hear them. But right now, that verse, by faith, I'm standing on it. The Father has committed all judgment to the Son. Any other questions? Okay.
There would be a corresponding Bible verse, I believe, in Hebrews 1, talking about the authority that's given to the Son by God when God
right.
said that He would make the earth a footstool for Him.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
That helps.
It does help.
Okay. Acts 17:31, that is the appointed day in which He's going to judge the world by Jesus.
Right. Good. Now, we're talking about final judgment, right? We're talking about judgment day, great white throne judgment. Is what we're referring to. Okay.
10:42.
Good.
10:42, and he commanded us to preach the gospel to this writer.
that it's he which is ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead.
Right. Ooh. The Father has ordained the Son to be the great high priest, the king, the judge, anything else, the mediator. What else is he? I mean, he's lots of things. He holds lots of offices. Yes, ma'am. Wow! Give yourself a point. Actually, we get 2 points over here. So Miss Dolores, again, being the sharp tack that she is, has given us priest, king, and now prophet.
Amen.
Very good. Good job, Dolores.
That's pretty good.
Wow, and she wasn't even here for the study.
She must have some good
It's fantastic.
Teachers.
Good job. What's that mean? She's like, John, what are you doing? Okay, who's next?
I guess me.
Okay, Mr. Daniel asking Miss Jenna, or okay, so the two-headed lamb over there, the Victoria Naomi lamb, go ahead.
All right. Does the Bible say if Jesus whipped people with his whip of cords while in the temple?
I think Lydia
wants
to get up here.
Okay. You have a verse for that one?
I think Lydia wants
to
get up here.
No.
Oh. So the question, if we could get a little bit louder for the audio's sake, I'm sorry to keep repeating. Does the Bible say that Jesus whipped with a whip of cords?
Whipped people.
Whipped people. Okay. Does it say he whipped people? Okay.
John 2:15, it just says he made a whip of cords, and he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen.
He says them all, so is that adding the animals and the people?
Yeah, well, at least it would mean all the people, but we could deduct it means all the animals and the people. But he drove them with it, so he may have never touched them with it, but it doesn't say either way, does it? Doesn't say he did or he didn't, so we can't presume he did or he didn't. We know they left. We know that. We know they were scared enough of this by their own view, I'm sure. Who is this maniac that keeps driving us out of the temple for selling stuff and changing money? Right? So we can't say either way. The Bible doesn't say he scourged people with a whip. Right? So we know he was scourged. Praise the Lord, he was scourged for our transgressions. So you have is there a disagreement in the court? No disagreement? Okay, good. Next. Where are we?
Right.
Okay.
Right here.
All right. There's another two-headed lamb, two-headed ram lamb dealing with another two-headed ram lamb. Let's get this done.
Okay, ready? In John 9, why was the man blind from birth?
Ooh. Hang on. Hang on. We're going to get to you next. You guys apparently have been instructed. That's good. Why was the man blind from birth in John chapter 9? He gave you the chapter, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get
so that way God's works will be revealed.
Yeah.
Okay, so his works would be revealed? His miraculous supernatural work?
So that the works of God should be manifest in you.
I can read it if you want.
You got the chapter and verse? Go for it. It's an extra point.
John chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
Good interpretation. I like it. Good job. Give yourself a couple points. All right, keep it track. All right, next.
Good. Oh, am I supposed to ask now?
Now we're still in the same mess.
Yeah, see, they have Mayan tests.
Same problem. Okay.
Turn the test upside down, don't look at it.
See the problem that you...
All right. Go ahead.
So now I'm going to ask the question without them looking at my test, because they don't have...
You're changing the rules again?
Well, I mean, that's the only way we can do it if I'm asking the person next to me. Okay. Is then to turn the test upside down and don't look at my...
Okay, I'll allow it. Go ahead.
In John chapter 18, verse 30, what does the word malefactor mean?
Ooh.
Did I pronounce that right?
Malefactor is the correct pronunciation. John 18, what?
Verse 30.
Verse 30.
He's close. Can you say that again out loud, Mr. Russ?
Criminal.
Louder.
Convict. Criminal.
A criminal convict is the answer. Is that correct or is that close?
Criminal is right.
Criminal is the convict. Correct answer. Okay, so we already have the chapter and verse.
Yeah.
Wait for it.
Yeah. Uh-oh, I better get ready for a question here.
What does it say?
Evildoer.
Oh, really?
What does the NASB say for that chapter, for that verse?
Chapter 18, verse 30.
Chapter 18, verse 30, please.
So the correct translation says, they answered and said to him, if a man were not an evildoer.
Okay, we have an NASB only believer amongst us. I have never heard of one in my entire theological historical understanding of my short life. Anyway, we won't get off on that tangent, but what was the question and answer again, nice and loud and clear?
So the question was, what does the word malefactor mean from John chapter 18, verse 30?
And criminal was the right answer.
Or evildoer. Now, I got the question from my notes that you gave us. Is there any way you could page to your chapter 18 notes?
Yeah.
And see where that derived from, possibly?
Sure, yeah, I can do that. Hang on a second.
For our edification?
Sure, I want to do that. John 18.
And verse 30.
Verse 30. Hang on a second. All right. 22. Okay. I don't know why I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
But I'm not seeing it. Wow. Excuse me. Sorry. Nope. I don't see the note in there about that, but yeah. Good try, though. Okay, so I have a question about...
Well, you're going to ask me a question now.
I ask you a question?
I believe so. You ask, it's one over or is it two over? I'm good. I'm good.
Boy, you really...
I'm confused today. Don't mind me.
It's okay.
Just tell
it's only
me.
Two over sometimes because we haven't had one.
Right, we've been asking questions this way.
Oh, so you gotta. Okay.
We keep getting here and getting stuck.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Ready? Here we go. Chosen for hate. Chosen for hate. Where was my question? Let's see. This is the problem that you had last week, isn't it? Okay. Okay, according to, well, I'm not going to give you the chapter and the verse, but did Jesus teach us that we would be hated?
Is this for us?
Ooh.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Do you have a chapter and verse for that? That's the correct answer, by the way. Give yourself a point. Doesn't have a chapter and verse. Dad, you want to help her?
Do you know the scripture? I don't know the chapter
and
verse.
Okay, well,
I thought it was for Mr. Marvin.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And questions for Mr. Marvin.
That's okay, I like that.
My answer would have been yes.
Your answer would have been yes. Give yourself a point.
I don't know the Bible verse. I'm trying to find it right now.
She raised her hand and we called her.
Yeah,
that was good.
Thank you.
She's good. She's sharp.
Now, wait a minute. Maybe I'm getting confused again here. Which way am I asking the question?
This way.
This way.
Your left.
So who asked me a question?
They're going to ask you a question.
They're going to ask me a question now?
After,
but we're after I'm done asking you a question.
Verse, after we're trying to find the Bible
yeah,
verse.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hopefully people are looking for that Bible verse.
Well, one that... Oh, go ahead. Anybody else got a... Why would you be hated kind of verse from John, the book of John? Anybody know?
John 7:7.
Yeah, that one pops out because we preach it quite often. But Jesus said there, the world cannot hate you, but me it hates. So what was the beef there? What's the problem? Because if we assert that the world hates us because of Jesus, why did Jesus say that?
Well, he's talking to the disciples and he says...
In John 7?
John 7, it says, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. So, the disciples at that time weren't testifying that the world's deeds were evil. They were just following Jesus. Jesus was testifying of that, and so the world hated him. But now that we testify of the evil deeds of the world, now
right.
The world hates us just like it hated Jesus.
So I like that answer, but I thought the context of he was talking to his brothers. Was he talking to his disciples or his brothers?
Yeah, his brothers.
Okay, so his brothers would become his disciples, but at that time they weren't his disciples, I don't think.
Right.
Well, Jesus calls us to be light in the world.
Right.
And John chapter 3 says that men love darkness rather than light. They hate the light because it exposes them.
Good. So the light in us, exposing sin, exposing darkness, causes them to hate us. Everybody in agreement about that? Now, John, yes, ma'am, you have another one?
John 15:18-19.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I was lurking for. John 15:18-19, what does it say?
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you.
Very good. Now, well done, give her a hand. Give yourself 2 points. Now in verse 23, he goes on and says, he that hateth me hates my Father also. So we can say, with Jesus, he that hates me hateth Jesus also, hateth the Father also. Because what the Father taught Jesus, Jesus taught us, we're trying to teach them. Make sense? So the sinner, in his carnal, wicked filthiness, hates the truth in us. Hates the truth in Jesus. Hates the truth in the Father. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us. That light, that truth is in us, dwells in us. We're shedding that light on their sin. Your sin is wicked. Your sin is filthy. They go, it's not. I'm pretty good.
Stop judging me.
Stop judging me.
And the next verse there, it says, a servant cannot be greater than his master. It says, the world hated me, you'll hate, right? Isn't that, what's the next verse there?
Remember the word that I said to you.
Verse 20.
Read the next like 3 verses there.
Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me.
Right. And so the people that we go out and witness to and we talk to, either individually or open air preaching, if you're talking to a sinner, and for the youth, heads up. When you're out there on the job site and you're talking to people that are sinners, don't expect them to know about God. Don't take their advice about God or about how you should live your life when you know better. You know better. Don't take the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who takes not the counsel of the ungodly. So you know your fellow co-worker is living in sin. You know, hey, what do you think about this? Or what kind of car should I buy? Where should I live? What should I do with my life? Seek God. Amen? Can I get an amen, saints? Amen. Seek God. Amen. Okay, go ahead, brother.
Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also, which supports what you were just saying. Because the Father taught Jesus, and Jesus taught us, and we teach the people. It goes, it's exactly what you said.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit lives within us, and we are to bear much fruit in that Spirit. We're
right.
Walking the Spirit.
Right.
And not in the flesh.
And so amen.
If the fruit of the Spirit's coming out of us.
Right. We will reprove error. We will reprove and rebuke. Correct things that are not righteous according to what we understand God's word to mean.
Amen.
What we understand God taught us, then we should teach other people. If they're living in darkness, they should go. Okay. Yes, sir.
I have a question. So,
well, we're not going to do that now. We're going to do that later. We're going to continue with the process. So, where did I go? I went this way. Now it's his turn to ask me. You got a question? Okay, now, thank you, brother. Keeping me straightened out.
What title did Pilate write to put on the cross?
Hang on, brother. What is that noise over there? And can we desist?
Messiah.
It's going to just provide a lot of background. Too much information
what
on the audio.
What title did Pilate write to put on the cross?
What title did Pilate write? He did it in three languages. And Jesus, King of the Jews.
Judges.
Jesus, King of the Jews, and it would have been in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek.
It's actually Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you were supposed to let somebody else answer. But I have the Bible verse.
Well, hang on. Let's try to let somebody else answer. Oh, you are answering. Okay, go ahead.
I have the verse that says, this is John chapter 19, verse 19. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.
Right, and
it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, verse 20.
Hebrew, Greek, and Latin.
Yes.
That was Aramaic. Okay, so I get a half point. The Pharisees wanted something else written. Does anybody remember what that was? What are the fair? Yes, sir.
That he said he was.
Yeah, so they wanted, he said he was the King of the Jews. Not that he was actually the King of the Jews.
Right.
But when Pilate tested him, he goes, wow, this guy says he's the truth. He says, are you a king? All right? What you said is true. So, and you have authority to kill me, but the authority is given to you from above. So Pilate knew he was speaking the truth. And if you remember I don't know if it's in John or not, but his wife came to him and said, have nothing to do with that man. Don't judge that man.
A dream.
Right, from a dream, nightmare type thing, I suppose she would have been having. Sounded like she was in a nightmare. Okay, I think we're over there.
Who did Jesus give Mary to?
Who did Jesus give Mary to? Like in marriage?
No, he was on the cross and
Oh, okay. Who did Jesus give Mary to?
Behold.
Dolores? Do you have an answer?
I think it was John.
Yeah, the John the Beloved?
Yeah,
he called it so. The most.
I'm going to go with probably. If 19 is when the thieves were on the cross, and it's probably the same chapter 19.
That's good logic. Good logic helps us to remember that if it's there, then it's going to be there. John 19. Okay, good job. 2 points for you, Mr. Seth. Inquiring of his mother.
What is the purpose of John's book?
What?
What is the purpose of John's book? Boy, that's a general one. Why don't you try a different question? What is, but...
I'd like to know the answer, though. Can you read the answer?
Yeah, can you read the answer?
It is so that we might believe the signs and teachings.
Okay. What verse is that?
21:24.
John 21:24, read it please, nice and loud and clear, brother.
This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Is that so that we know his testimony is true.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, next question there, please, Seth. Put the paper down so the audio can pick you up. Thank you.
What does it mean to be sanctified?
What does it mean to be sanctified, Mother?
To be set apart.
To be set apart. Can you give another word to it? Okay, anybody want to help her?
No, I don't know the chapter.
Don't know the chapter. Okay, Mr. Dan, another word for sanctified?
Perfect.
Perfect. Another word for perfect?
Holy.
Another word for holy?
Set apart.
We already said set apart. We're looking for a different word.
Washed.
Yep, washed. Okay. So, yes, ma'am.
Holy?
Holy? I think we said that one. How about it starts with an S? Set apart is holy. Sanctified is holy. Another word, a title, like Mr., Mrs.
Saint.
Oh, what's that?
Saint.
Saint. Saint of God. There's a group of people in the Bible called the saints. You got to figure this out, Christians. Who are this mystery people called saints of God? It needs to be you. It needs to be us. The believers, amen. All of us. If you ain't a saint, you ain't entering the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God's kingdom won't be dirty by a bunch of sinners. Amen. Bunch of lawlessness. Hallelujah. Okay, where are we?
Sarah's turn.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Sarah. Nice and loud and clear, please.
Why did Jesus tell Mary not to cling to him, for he had not yet ascended?
Ooh. Why did Jesus tell Mary not to cling to him because he had not yet ascended?
The rest of the question says, but to Thomas he says to touch his hand and side.
Oh, that's a two-part question.
It's talking about when Jesus ascended to heaven.
Well, that's a pretty good general statement there, brother. I'm not sure it answers the question, but...
The answer is in the question?
What is the question supposed to be like? Why did Jesus need to ascend? But what's the question again?
It says, why did Jesus tell Mary not to cling to him, for he had not yet ascended, but to Thomas he says to touch his hand and touch.
Okay, so the question is, let me try and make the question succinct. Why did Jesus not allow Mary to touch him versus telling Thomas to touch him before what most people think of his ascension in Acts chapter 1? Yes, sir.
Verse 24 of chapter 20, I believe, answers this.
Okay.
It says, but Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came, so the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord, but he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprints of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.
Okay, that is good. I mean, it's obviously there in the Bible, but it's not really, I think, addressing the point of the question. Mr. Marvin, can you help us out?
Yes, the answer would be because he ascended more than once.
Ah.
And there's more to it.
Go ahead.
More to it. Jesus had not yet ascended unto the Father because his role was the high priest. We can find that in the book of Hebrews. I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
Time's sake, but
quiet down, please.
He was the high priest that had to bring the offering to the Father to the mercy seat, literal mercy seat.
Okay, so literal spiritual mercy seat.
The high priest was not to be touched when he was going into the Holy of Holies. If he was touched, he would be unclean.
Wow.
He would
okay.
Be unclean, and he'd be stricken dead.
Is there another Bible verse besides the Assumption? Is there a Bible verse that says he ascended twice?
Well, we don't know he ascended twice. We're not asserting that.
Right.
But we know if he told her not to touch him because he hadn't ascended, and later on he touched Thomas the next week or 6 days later, he's telling Thomas to touch him. But we know 40 days after his resurrection is when he finally ascended. We would deduct there must have been an ascension where he went into the Holy of Holies there before the Father and did his priestly duties.
Right, but Thomas, it never said Thomas actually touched him. So you could also say that Jesus was simply telling Thomas what he exactly said to get him to believe. And so
yeah, I don't think that's reasonable, brother. I don't think that's reasonable for the Lord to direct him to do something he had told Mary not to do. So we can talk about that later if you want. But we see Jesus Christ, what's the word? Not teleportation, but moving like who was the evangelist? Philip the evangelist went from here to there. What's that called? Telekinesis? No. Spiritual travel. He was spiritually traveling from this place to that place. What's that?
Translation.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Today's word would be teleportation.
Can I read what Thomas said and then read what Jesus said to Thomas? Can I read those verses?
We're going to continue on. Okay. All right. So that was the point of that teaching. I can go more in depth about the what would be more than one ascension by what I taught that day amongst the men, and we can have all that clarified if you have questions about that. Okay.
It is Hebrews 5:5-6 about Jesus being our high priest.
Right. Okay, who's next? Hannah, go ahead.
Who took Jesus' body and buried him?
Say it again, please.
Who took Jesus' body and buried him?
Who took Jesus' body and buried him? Okay, we're trying to give Sarah a chance to answer, right? Joseph who? Joseph, Mary's husband, Joseph. Ten. Nine. Hang on, she's still answering. I'm only on nine. Eight. Seven. Oh, six. Five.
Joseph from Arimathea.
Very good. Joseph of Arimathea, was there more than one? Say again?
Yes.
And someone else. And Nicodemus.
And Nicodemus. Very good. Okay, so is this the same Nicodemus from John chapter 3?
Yes, sir.
I think we presume so. We at least deduct so. Okay, good. Good job, Sarah. You got the chapter and verse 2?
Yes, it's Nicodemus.
2 points? 3 points? You have a point to add, sir?
Yeah, verse 39, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night.
Thank you. That's the proof right there. All right, Miss Victoria and Miss Naomi, are you asking the question next, please?
What is the will of the Father?
What is the will of the Father? Hang on a second, Dolores. We'll get back to you in a minute. Okay, out of the mouth of babes, Miss Dolores, you got it?
That all might be saved.
That all might be saved? Is that what your answer was? That's a good answer. It is the will of the Father that all might be saved. Okay, but is that the question you have? We're going to go ahead and come back this way. Anybody got an answer for that question?
A different
answer. Different answer.
John 6:40 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day.
Amen. And it goes back to what Ms. Dolores was saying. Okay, so the will of the Father is they might believe on the Son and have everlasting life. That is the will of the Father in heaven. The Father to the fatherless, His will is to give you a home and give me a home that none of us deserve. A place where we don't have to pay taxes. We don't have to worry about thieves breaking in. We don't have to worry about rape, murder, wars, all those things that plague this planet and plague the human race. We can escape. Amen?
Is that the answer that was given?
Yes.
All right. Good job. Okay. Now, where are we? We're to the two-headed ram lamb asking the questions of the ladies.
Does the Bible record every good work that Jesus did? Does the Bible record every good work that Jesus did?
No.
You know the verse?
Yes. Very good. So I think John said something along the lines, all the libraries of the world could not hold all the deeds that he did. And so we have the important ones to know that we can learn about God and learn about the Messiah. So, amen. All right. Onward and upward. Give yourself 2 points, 3 points, ladies. That was a pretty good one there. And we're going to go on for another 10 minutes or so. How many people are recording points? Raise your hands. If you're recording points, raise your hands, please. If you're recording the points that you've gotten. Okay. All right. Not me.
I think for this one, since I'm saying the chapter and verse in the question, we shouldn't look it up. If you don't know the answer, then we go to the next person.
Okay, whatever you want to do, brother.
What does the word offended mean? Yep, in John 16:1. What does the word offended mean in John 16:1? That would disqualify you. Again, but then we're going to the next person.
John 16.
Wait, I can't look at my Bible?
Yeah, because he's already given you the Bible verse, so he's forbidding you from looking in the Bible because he gave you the Bible verse already. That's holding the questioner accountable, isn't it?
Let's see if someone else knows, right. And if no one knows it, then we'll give more detail.
What's the question?
Oh, I think I kind of remember vaguely talking about it, like to scandalize.
What?
The word scandalizio or something.
I don't know. He's saying yes. I'm wondering.
To scandalize, like
no,
there's
it's not.
There's another word that starts with an S. There's another word that starts with an S.
That doesn't make sense.
I'll just say the question again. What does the word offended mean in John 16:1?
Shame.
I think a clue, I'll give a clue. You want to focus on the fact that it's the first verse of the chapter.
Can we turn the lights back on, please?
Or did I turn them off?
Yes, sir.
Okay, going to the next person then?
So he said something about scandalize, right?
That's what I remember you teaching him last time.
That did come up in the teaching.
Right.
But I don't think that is what this is.
Well, I think they're looking for a fuller answer than scandalize. Yeah, you're after me. Anybody else you want to go?
No, I'm not because it's my. I know the answer because it's in my question.
Oh. Yeah, it's to purposely
cause to stumble, to entice to sin, to cause to fall away, and to cause to judge unrighteously.
Yep.
Offenses are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come.
Preach it, brother.
It's better that a millstone be tied around your neck and you be cast in the sea.
Amen. Good preach, brother. So the Greek word is scandalizo, though, for that word offend. There's another word which is offend, which is just a few verses later, I think. What was that, John 16 we were talking about? Is that the one?
John 16.
16. Yeah, hang on a second. Let me turn back there to my notes. John 14. I was just looking at it this morning. It's funny you asked that question, but okay, so but bateo, I think the Greek word is in James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. So here's another word, offend. Okay? So in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and also able to bridle the whole body. This is not scandalizo. It's not the same kind of offend, but pateo, it means to err, trip, or cause to fall. So we when we preach, the preaching of God's word causes an offense in the carnal mind and causes them to trip over God's word so that they fall down with it, right? But the motive is different than scandalizo. To scandalize somebody is to purposely put something in front of them so that they sin. When we go out there and God's word offends people, we're not purposing it that they sin against us. Oh, I'm going out there to scandalizo sinners so they'll beat me up and I'll suffer persecution for Christ's sake. See, God knows the difference between scandalizo and pateo. Okay, you want to add to that, brother?
Yeah, what I want to add is Jesus uses the same scandalizo word in the book of Matthew. For time's sake, I'm not going to try to look it up by memory. And Jesus said, the disciples came to Jesus, don't you know that you offended them? Speaking of the Pharisees. And Jesus says, leave them be. Let the blind lead the blind.
They both fall in the ditch.
They both fall in the ditch.
Right.
And so Jesus offended the Pharisees, scandalized them, but it did not apologize for scandalizing them, offending, stumbling them with the very words that they were trying to trap him with many times.
Interesting. Kind of goes counter to my point.
Yes, that's why I when I was reading through the book of Matthew at the time you were giving that teaching, right. I came upon that and I went to the Greek lexicon, which is what you did for the scandalizio, and I'm right. Like, wow, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So, well, but he's Jesus.
Apparently there's a holy scandalizio too. Okay, good. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yes, sir.
All right, where are we? My turn?
I think we are answering a question from Marvin.
Oh, yeah. I'm
right?
Sorry. Yes. So you
just asked the question.
No, looky. Okay.
Dan, sorry.
Okay. And I'm going to give you the same requirement. But I'm not going to give the same requirement to everybody.
Okay.
Anybody else can go to John chapter 17 and look for the answer. But the question is in John chapter 17, what does Jesus pray for?
For, do you mind?
Go ahead.
Let's consult before we submit our answer.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Good idea.
He was praying for those he had, his disciples. He was not praying for the world.
That's right. That's one
thing. And for those that would believe on him in the future.
Amen. Is that it, or is there more?
Let me consult my partner here.
Jenna?
Wait.
Sorry.
I think I can get a little bit of extra time since I'm not looking at the Bible.
9. 8.
He prayed that they be in unity.
Yeah, but who was he praying for?
Oh, who was he praying for?
Who does Jesus pray for in John chapter 17?
He also prays for himself that, through that temptation.
So himself, his disciples, and those in the future that would believe. Good answers. Okay. Good 3 points to you, pal. And Jenna, do you have something else to add that
no,
Jesus prayed for?
I was just trying to understand the question. I didn't know if it was what.
Oh,
Jesus
sorry.
Prayed
it was
for.
Who?
Who? Okay, anybody else have something?
Sorry.
Because if it's what, you say, well, that I glorify you and those kind of things,
answers,
So those are what's. But he's
and the answer could be found in verses 1 through 5, verses 6 through 19, and verses 20 through 26. All in the book of John, all in the chapter 17 of the book of John.
Okay, now at this point, I'm willing to take one more question, but we're over the hour mark already, so we're going to go ahead and just call it a finish. Seth, do you have something to add?
Yes.
Now, I'm sorry, you raised your hand for what reason?
I have a question.
Can you put the paper down so I can hear you? If you have a question, go ahead.
Not my turn, never mind.
Not your turn. As I was saying, we're going to go ahead and conclude the examination time. I think everyone did really well. I look forward to finishing putting the database together of all the questions they have as a resource on the website, JesusPreacher.com. If you're doing the Bible study through the Book of John series, you can go back and look at all the questions that we brought forth from the teaching for the last year. So, praise the Lord.
Still yes, an sir. Encouragement for those listening via the web to still submit your exams to Brother John at johnmclone@msn.com.
Okay.
Because they still have a chance, right, that they can get it in a database, right?
Sure. I don't mind receiving that. Yes, sir, you had something to say, Daniel?
Well, I wanted to make a correction on something I said earlier.
Okay, great. You have a brother wants to correct something he said earlier?
Because I had quoted a verse in the end of 21, but the answer was actually in verse 20, and that's the 31st verse. It says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So that's telling us what the reason that John wrote the Gospel of John was, that we might believe
Amen.
On Jesus Christ.
Good. Amen. Thank you for that clarification. Appreciate that. Any other points, questions? All right. Praise the Lord.